Good morning, good Kodesh, everyone. Today's daf is daf ayin tes. So we got around 8 lines down at the 2 dots. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, or kedei la'asos v'chulum. It was a size of a or, the size of a kemiya. We've been talking about how much of different items, what the shear of different items it would be v'chayv v'chatas for carrying outside. So this too is a continuation of this topic. It's a very technical daf. And the Gemara begins as follows. It says, Bay minei rabba mirav nachman. Hamotzi or bekam, a person carries out a piece of skin, how much would make him chayv? So Amar lo, the Mishnah says, or kidei lasos kamir. The Mishnah says that the size of a piece of skin, a piece of hide, that you're able to make a kamir. So the Gemara says, then hamaved bekam, a person's ma'aved, one of the tans, he tans and he treats the skin, how much does he have to be ma'aved to be chayv chatas? Samarlo, lo shana, there's no difference. Whether a person's ma'abed the or a person's mochi the or, it's the same exact shear of, again, kidei la'asos kamir. So Amarle says, lo shana, fine. The Gemara says, la'abdo bekama. What about if a person wants to be ma'abed it? Amarle lo shana. So it's just, there's some brackets here about whether we should be goris different things, but there's no difference whether or not a person's being ma'abed or whether a person is going to be carrying outside. So umna tamer, how do you know that this is the shear? That the shear is of or of kedei lasos kemiya. So the Gemara says, Kitasan, the Mishnah tells us hamalabi. We're talking about a different malacha now, but we're going to see from this other malacha that the shirim are always the same. Hamalabi, a person who whitens wool. Hamanape, a person who combs the wool. Vatsovea, a person who colors the wool. Vatovea, the one who spins the wool. Shiure, kimlo rochav hasit couple. It's the size it takes to make a double size of a sid, which is one of these mounts for weaving, significance for weaving. So it's the actual size is the space between the index finger and the middle finger. And when you stretch them apart, that's the size we're describing here. Va'orei, one who weaves it, shnei chutin, if you weave two of these threads. Shi'urei kimlo rochav, it's the size of the width of this, which again, between the index finger and the middle finger. So alma we see. Since the wool is destined to be spun, it's omed litvia. Therefore, the shear is we use the model, the shear of tvia. So just like in the world of making wool and making threads and sewing things, it's all the same shear since it has the potential to be spun. So then, so to hachanami kevan de la abdokai shiro kimuuban. Since a piece of skin is destined to be tanned, so therefore it has the same exact measurements as tanning the leather. So we see when you're involved in a particular process of the malacha, whether it's making the wool or making the skin, preparing the skin, then the shiurim are going to be equal from beginning to end. So Gemara says, "V'shlol abdo b'kama." What about if the skin is a type of skin that's not destined to be tanned, not destined to be processed, it's some other skin? So Amar Lei, lo shana, it doesn't make a difference. Even if you're not going to make this skin, you're not going to tan it, you're not going to treat it, it still doesn't make a difference. It's still going to be the same shear as an or kedei lasos kamir. The lo shana bein mu'ubad, the shena mu'ubad, the Gemara says, there really is no difference of a skin that's tanned versus not tanned. Aseve. Rava asks a question. Hamotzi samanim shuruyin, a person who carries out different types of dyes and herbs and spices that are shuruyin that have been soaked for a purpose of coloring. And kidei litzba behind a dugma li'ira that has been soaked in order to have the proper dye and proper coloring as one of these dugmas we spoke about the other day, a couple weeks ago, about a painter's board of different colors and shades as a dugma, as an example, as a people to choose what color they want, li'ira, for the purpose of a weaver's bobbin, that's how they define this. But if it's dyes and colors that were not soaked yet, klipa egozim and klipa rimonim, if they're made of the shells of the walnuts or the shells of the pomegranates, satim upua, different types of items, kedei litzbob hen beged katan lefi svacha, so then it's going to be the shear that you're going to dye a small piece of cloth from some type of hat of a woman. So we see it's a different shear, whether the samanim were shurin or ain't shurin. So just like by samanim we have different shear, so too by or, there should be a difference in the shear between la'abdo versus shelo la'abdo. So the Gemara says, ha'itmar la, it was said on this statement in this Mishnah, that Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Barvua, lefi she'en adam tareach lishos samanim litzboben dugma libra. Because a person doesn't go through the tircha of soaking samanim for the purpose of this type of these samples for the college. People just don't end up doing that. So as opposed to when it comes to the or, people would be matriarch themselves to go from labdo shelo labdo. It's not such a big deal for a person to tan leather. So therefore, all leather, whether it's tan or not tan, has the same shear. But some of them, a lot of people don't go through the tircha. If it's already been soaked, so then a person's willing to make a dugma out of this. But if it hasn't been soaked, people won't go through that extra step, the extra tircha of going through the process. The Gemara then says further, we're looking at Rashi 1 second here. Okay, the Gemara now says further, Vaharei zeirone gina, different seeds that are meant for the garden, for plants, for flowers. So the mekamed is arinu tanan, before they actually planted the shear of these seeds, are zeirone gina, pachas mikugrogeres, it's less than kugrogeres, that's the shear. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer chamisha, it says you need 5 seeds, that's the amount. So the ilabasa de zarina tama, however, after it's already been planted, zevel v'chol hadak, if it's zevel's fertilizer and chol hadak is small pieces of sand, kidei lezabebo kelech shakruv, the amount it takes to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. Divi Rabbi Kiva and chacham omim kidei lezabel kurisha, in order to fertilize a leek. So we see that there is a distinction between that which is planted, that which is not planted. So there should also be a distinction between those types of skins which are processed and tanned versus those that are not. So Ha Itmar Lo said on this particular mission about the seeds that were before they're planted versus after they're planted, that Amara Papa Ha Dizria Ha Dilozria. One mission is talking about the single cabbage is talking about when the stalk has been planted, and the other one is talking about where the stalk has not been planted. The fish ain't adam tarech lotzi nima achas lizria. A person is not going to take out one seed for the purpose of planting. So once they plant the seed, however it's planted already, a person would take out a single seed. But before it's planted, a person wouldn't be matriach. You don't go like dig up a hole just to put one seed in the ground. So before planting, people don't go through the tircha, therefore the shear is larger. But once it's already planted, so then even a singular seed, a singular stalk, would be significant. So there's a difference between tircha when it comes to planting, and there's also a significance when it comes to soaking simanim. When it comes to tanning, a person is not bothered by the tircha involved of tanning leather versus not tanning leather. So Gemara says, Varei tit, the mekame de legable tanya, that when it comes to mud and clay and dirt, that before it's been mixed together, so the din is, modim chachamim l'Rabbi Shimon, b'motzi shofchin l'shis harabim, when a person takes out some of that water we spoke about in the Mishnah, some of the water, I don't know if it's water that's not drinkable, so it's a bad water, so a person takes out the shofchin l'shis harabim, shishirun b'rivis, it's a absolute shir of rivis, b'avinu ba, the Gemara asks, we saw this a couple days ago, shofchin l'maychaz, what's the significance, what's the use, what's the purpose of shofchin, if it's water that's meant to be poured out, it's sewage water, it's wasted water, so why are you carrying it? What's the purpose? And the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yirmiya legabo behen esatit," in order to help mix dirt together to knead it. So the Gemara says, "Ila basa degabli tanya." So that's all. If it's before you mix the water together, it's the shear of revius. But after it's been mixed together, "Ila basa degabli tanya." The Brisa says, "Tit kede lasos ben piakur." The amount of clay it takes to create a certain opening of a. Of some type of oven of some sorts. So we see there is a difference between kneading before kneading and after kneading. So Gemara says, "Ha'asanami kadamino." There as well, the fish ain adam tarech lagabel satid lasos po pi kur. People don't matriarch themselves to make the piat kur if it's already been done. So then there's a particular shear. But if it's not been done, so we don't assume the guy's going to use the water to make the tit into a piat kur. That's a big tircha, so we assume a revius. So again, whenever there's a difference before and after, it depends on tircha. So the three questions we all asked when it came to the kneading of the water and the clay and the planting of the seeds and the mixing of the simanim, all those, there was a big tircha from before and after, and therefore we don't assume every item is going to, person is going to go through the tircha for the other step. But when it comes to tanning, there is not much of a tircha between tanning and not tanning, therefore we assume every type of skin, every type of hide, is omed le'ibud. Gemara says, Tashma, it comes to bring a raya, Dama Rabbi Chi bar'ami mishmei du'ula. Shlosha Oros, saying the three types of Oros, the Gemara talks about this several places, Matzah v'chipa v'diftara. So what does it mean, Matzah v'chipa v'diftara? So the Gemara explains, Matzah kimashma matzah, as it simply understands, why do you call any skin matzah? So the Gemara explains, it's called matzah because the lo meliach, the lo kemiach, the lo office. This skin is very rare, very raw rather, where it has not been treated. The lo meliach wasn't salted. The lo kemiach, there was no flour in it. The lo office wasn't treated with any of these gold nuts you used to put on top of it to kind of seal, make it look glossy, I believe. So it was completely like, just like matzah, very plain. There's water and flour in zehu. So that's the type of skin that's been untreated. It's called matzah or. Next, kamashir, how much would the shir be to be chayv for carrying such matzah type of ore? So tani Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, kidei lotzer bo mishkoles katana. In order to wrap something in a small, wrap a small weight in it, you put a little something, that's the shir we're talking about here. If you look at Rashi just for a second here, Rashi says, hold on, where's that Rashi go? I don't see Rashi. I thought there was a Rashi in this. Either way, it's something to wrap something small inside. A small mishkolos is a weight. So that's the size, the shear of the matzah ore. So then Amar Abaye says, Riva, the Riva, the Pumbedisa, it's a quarter, based on that which is used in the Pumbedisa. That's the shear, whatever that shear actually means. That's the that's the weight. Chipa, what's chipa? So that's the other type of, that's the second category of ore. Chipa says Gemara, chipa de meliach v'lo kemiach v'lo ofetz. It was so salted, so it was partially processed, but it didn't have any flour and didn't have any of these gold nuts on it. So that's the second category of ore. And what's the shir kamashiru? Kedetanan, the Mishnah says, or kedei lasos kemiah. This is where we talk about, if you bring out the size of an ore that you're able to write a kemiah on, that's the shir that we're describing here. And diftera, de meliach kemiach v'lo ofetz. The diftera is the third category whereby it was salted. It was even treated with flour, but it had not had the gall nuts on it. That's the third category of skin. The kamashira, what's the shear of carrying that outside? Kedei lichtov alav as a get. In order to write a get on this, that would be the shear. So these are three different types of categories. So the Gemara now says, katani mias, one of the categories we mentioned was kedei latzerbo mishkoles katana. The first category, the ore that was called matzah, that was not treated at all, that you're able to wrap up a small weight in it. So Amar Abaye says, Riva the Riva Bapumpadisa. So Rava had argued, Abaye said that's the Riva, a quarter of Pumpadisa, and that's larger than the shear of that's required for tanning. It's larger than the Kamiya. So you see that there is a difference between that which was been tanned or salted versus that which was after. Meaning up until now we've been saying all skin is the same, whether it's been treated or not treated. But here we're seeing there are distinctions between before it's salted and after it's salted. So the Gemara says, Hasam, over there, the skin that we described as the ore as matzah that has not been treated at all, bibishula, it was still very wet. It was like bishula, we always cook, bishula is always with water. That's bishula versus afia. Afia is dry, bishula is always cooking with water. So we say bishula means there's a lot of moisture still there, and therefore it can't be tanned. You can't tan something when it's full of, it's fully wet. And therefore Rashi says here, bibishula, four lines up at the end of the line, bibishula lach, it's moist, kimo shehufshut, when you skin the animal, the skin is still very wet. Kari bishula lashon bishul shulach. Right, as mentioned before, the bishul is always with a davar lach, with water, with a liquid. You bishul when it comes to soup. Bishul water. You don't say bishul by bread. Bread is afia. So bishul when there's water. Shulach dakati says Rashi lo chazil ibud. At this stage, it's not fit for processing, for tanning of a yavish when it's been dried. Chazil ibud. Then you could start treating it, the cave in the chazir li'ibud have a kimuva. But since this is a big step away, that's still moist, therefore it's completely a category of its own. So Gemara then says, well, that's not, doesn't the Mishnah tell us now that habegit shlosha shlosha limidras? We said in terms of begadim, the person were to sit, if a zav were to sit on a certain item, he's metame tumas midras, by him sitting, that's going to transmit tuma. So the shear of a beg has to be shlosha shlosha tfachim limidras. And has sak, if it's made of sak, arba arba, 4x4 tvachim. If it's or, if it's made of skin, chamisha chamisha, 5x5 tvachim. Mapa, shisha al shish, if it's made some type of mat, 6x6. Bein lemidras, bein lemace. And this applies equally to a person who's zav sitting on top of it versus a mace, tumas mace. The Tanya law, habegid basak va'or, kishir lutuma, kach shir lotza. So whatever shear is needed for being mekabel tuma, that's the same exact shear for lotza. So what would come out from this is that we're talking about the ore to carry, just like the ore is 5x5 tvachim for the purposes of tumas midras, so too by extension, 5x5 tvachim is necessary for carrying, that's the shear of lotza. And that's very different, much larger than the shear we're describing up until now, so that's a big kasha. So the Gemara says, Hahu bikurtavla, that's referring to what's kurtavla, says Rashi, last line of the Amud here, bikurtavla, Rashi says, mevashlo, biroskin, where you cooked it in boiling water, u miskashe leishir olav, now it's harden. When you cook skin, it hardens and makes it as a cushion, not a very soft cushion, but it hardens. It makes it with the ability to sit on top of it. Ulechasos luvkaos shikorn pushtadel umitas lasos shulchan. I don't know what that middle category is, but somehow to cover things or to make it as a table becomes very, very hard and stiff. That's a completely different category. It's a type of furniture, and therefore the shear is going to be much larger. The kind of a table to use or a chair to sit on needs to be larger than 5x5 tefachim would be the necessary shear. We're talking about things that were not cooked. It was just either still moist, whereby the shear was, we said, it was a shear of to wrap something up in it, and if it was already dry, where it's able to kedei lachasos kamiyah. So even in the category of skins, they're different. They're still different types, and therefore would demand different shear. Going now to the top of Ayin Testament base here, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, cloth. A person has a piece of cloth, which is a part of the parchment, which is not all the skin. We'll see in just a second the different types of skin, how the skin, the different parts of it even hide. Up until now, we're talking about just stam or. Now we're talking about the particular cloth. So the cloth has a shear that you could write a parsha katana, one would be chai for carrying this shear. So Uriminu asks the Gemara, cloth viduch sutis, kidei lichtov alav mezuzah. So if a cloth, which is a parchment, which is what we write, Sefer Torah, and the duchsustis, which we'll see what that means, if Rashi says, duchsustis, the top line is cloth, shenitla, klipaso, helyona. We took the outer layer of the skin. You could break up the skin when it's dried and when it's processed. You could separate it into different parts. You peel them off of each other. So the cloth, I believe, is the entire piece of skin after it's processed. But duchsustis, Rashi says, is where you rip off the top layer, so it's different than actual cloth. So the din is cloth uduch sustis kedei lichtav alav mezuzah, the shear of writing mezuzah. That's a different shear than kedei parsha mezuzah. Rashi, as we know, mezuzah, just in case we don't remember, a mezuzah consists of two parshios. It consists of Shema and it consists of Vayat Mishma, two parshios. So we see from here that although our Brisa here says two Mishnayos, the Mishnah had said you need only kedei lichtav parsha ketana, one parsha. So this is different than the Brisa. Is it two parshios, like a mezuzah, or is it just one parsha? So Gemara says, my mezuzah was mezuzah shebet tefillin. The mezuzah in the tefillin, which Rashi says here, shebet tefillin, is the hasam, dal igros, the dal parshas. There are four different little letters, four different parchments, at least in the tefillin sharosh. We know that four parshas written for tefillin. And the tefillin shayad, they're all on the same parchment, they're wrapped together, and in tefillin shel rosh, then there are four different parchments, four different sections. So says Rashi, by the tefillin hasam dal igaros ladal parshios, there are four different parshios, four different parchments separately, at least for the sharosh. Bishir bechad minayo tainu shema katana shebem. So a one mezuzah, which is just another way of saying one parchment of the four parshios in Shema, which is the smallest, and Bahaya is the Shema is the smallest of the four parshios. That's the shir we're describing. So it is consistent. When the Brisa says mezuzah, it means mezuzah shebet tefillin, which means to say the parsha of Shema. And that's what the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, Kalaf Kadeh, Lichtov Alava, Parsha Katan, it's referring to the Parsha of Shema. So Gemara says, Vakarile, the Tefillin Mezuzah, we call it Tefillin Mezuzah, the two different mitzvahs. We never call it Tefillin Mezuzah. When we say Mezuzah, now Mezuzah suddenly means a Mezuzah in Tefillin. So in, the Gemara says, yes, in fact we do. Tani, the Brisa says, as a Raya, Ritzuos Tefillin, Ima Tefillin, the straps of the Tefillin along with the Tefillin themselves, Metames and Shedaim are going to Metame hands. What does it mean, Metame hands? Says Rashi three lines down, Metame Shedaim, Le'inyan Truma. We had this much earlier in the Masech, the Daf Yudalad. We had learned about the different takanas of Rabbi Chanina, and one of them was if a person were to touch a Kisvei Kodesh, so his hands are Tame, and they're going to then be Metame Truma. So a person touches, whether he touches the straps of Tefillin or the Tefillin themselves, this too would be b'chlal that takana, the metame sedaim. And the Gemara says further now, quoting from the Brisa, b'fnei atman, if they're by themselves, that the straps are not touching, they're not attached to the Tefillin, a metame sedaim, they are not metame, they're not considered an extension of the Tefillin unless they are attached to the Tefillin. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Yishimon, hanogeh b'rtzua tahar, a person who touches the strap is tahar, even if they are attached to the Tefillin. Until he touches the ketitza. Ketitza is the bayis, the batim, until he touches the houses, the boxes of tefillin. And Rabbi Zakkai, Mishma Omer, Tahor ad shi'iga b'mezuzah atzma, not until you touch the actual cloth. So there are three opinions here. One opinion is that you rituos are metame, the boxes are, and the rituos are when they are attached. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says the rituos are never metame, the boxes are. And Rabbi Zakkai says touching the mezuzah itself, touching the cloth itself, one would be, in fact, Tommy. Now, what we see from here, we call mezuzah a tefillin. So, Hamid the Katani Seifa, Klaf, k'day lichtav ala parsha k'tan shabitvilim, shishma Yisrael. Fine, so that's the conclusion. So again, mezuzah, we see clearly, mezuzah is referred to as tefillin in this particular brisa. So the Gemara now says, v'hamid the k'tan sefer, from the fact that the sefer said, klaf k'day lichtav ala parsha k'tan shabitvilim, and the brisa says, touching a small parsha of tefillin, shishma Yisrael, mechal d'resha, mezuzah atzma askinan. Does that not imply then at the beginning of the brisa is referring to the actual mezuzah? Because this brisa we said before, we said when he said in the brisa mezuzah, we mean mezuzah shebet tefillin, but that same brisa later on goes to talk about parsha katana shebet tefillin. So the brisa, why are the brisa interchanged between tefillin and mezuzah? Must be tefillin means tefillin, and when it says mezuzah, it means mezuzah. So Gemara says hachi tani. This is how we read the brisa. Klaf viduch sustis shirin bekama. What's the shir of a klaf and this duch sustis? Duch sustis k'day lichtav ala mezuzah. That's the shir for writing mezuzah. Klaf k'day lichtav ala parsh k'tan shabatilin shi shema Yisrael. That's how you really read the brisa. That's what we're talking about. And and that's the shir. The Gemara says, So in the end of the day, according to reading the brisa right now, the shir of duch sustis is different than the shir of klaf. Because since duch sustis is used for writing mezuzah, so it has to be enough to fit the two parshas of mezuzah, shema v'haya. Since klaf is used to write tefillin, it only needs to have a shir of writing the smallest mezuzah or megillah of tefillin, namely that of shema Yisrael. You should look at Rashi. Rashi makes this clear. Rashi says, "Kedei lichtav alav mezuzah." There are eight narrow lines down. Aduchsuchtis kai, it's referring to aduchsuchtis. The lo chazi l'tfilm. You don't use aduchsuchtis for a tefillin, only for mezuzah. V'seifa parish klaf kedei lichtav parish k'tana shabbat tefillin. So we see the two different things. So the Gemara then says, "Vayter Amar Rav." Rav says, "Duchsuchtis harei k'klaf." He says, "No, I think there's no distinction. Duchsuchtis has the same name as klaf. It's the same exact shear." Ma klaf kosher love tefillin, just like on klaf one writes tefillin, af duchsusis kosher love tefillin, so too on duchsusis you write tefillin as well. You can use both of these types of skins for the purpose of tefillin. And the Gemara says, really, is that true? Tanan. Klaf kedei lichtav parsha ketana, shebet tefillin, shishma Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, when you take out klaf, that's the shear to write a small parsha tefillin which is shema. So Gemara says, Medayik, we'll read parentheses, klaf in, duch sustis lo. So we see from here that only klaf has the shear of writing tefillin. But duch sustis would not be the shear of tefillin, duch sustis would be the shear of writing mezuzah. So Gemara said that le mitzvah, no, duch sustis is permitted for tefillin as well. Le mitzvah, I mean, ideally, if you have options to choose, the klaf is what's really ideal for writing tefillin. But if one were to write duch sustis, use duch sustis to write tefillin, that would also be sufficient, and therefore, for the purpose of carrying on tzar, that would also be bechlal the same shir. Just Rashi says, lemitzvah, mitzvah ben amufcha klaf, but you know, really, ideally, for writing tefillin, you should use klaf, which is, again, you have all the pieces of skin together. The stomach, people do the best way to perform the mitzvah as best as possible. Hogach lo mitzvah duch sustis letefillin. People don't use duch sustis for the purpose of tefillin. Havilei ein matzin kamo. But if a person were to use it, so it would be yotzei. A person would be yotzei riding tefillin on duch sustis as well. The Gemara then brings another raya. Toshma halacha l'moshe b'sinai tefillin al klaf u'mezuzah al haduch sustis. So it's clear from this brisa that halacha l'moshe b'sinai, there's a distinction that tefillin must be on klaf and mezuzah must be on duch sustis. Klaf b'mitzvah b'makom basar. What is klaf? Klaf is the area of the basar, the flesh, and duch sustis b'makom seir. So being the opposite sides of the skin. So the skin, the top part of the skin where the hair grows from, that's called duch sustis, says the brisa. And the klaf where it's on the inside of the body, on the flesh of the body on the inside, that's what's klaf. So we see there's a difference. So the Gemara says, even though there's a difference, and it says tefillin should be on klaf, and mezuzah only duch sustis implies that duch sustis is not good enough for tefillin. And the Gemara says, this too is lemitzah ba'alma, that the tefillin should be done on the klaf. But in a chanami, if tefillin were to be written on duch sustis, it would be permitted, it would be yotzei nonetheless. So Gemara says, v'hatani, but doesn't the Gemara say, shina puzzle, that if one changed anything with regards to tefillin and mezuzahs, it's completely puzzle. On mezuzah, that's referring to mezuzah, that mezuzah must be written on duch sustis, but the mezuzah may not be written on an or, but when it comes to tefillin, though, tefillin ideally should be on or, but b'di'evid, if it was written on duch sustis, it's permitted. V'hatana, but doesn't the Brisa say in both directions, shina, b'zeh, possible if you switch either one? It wasn't limiting to changing mezuzah, but even changing tefillin. If tefillin were written on duch sustis, it would be possible, just like if mezuzah was written on klaf, it would be possible as well. So the Gemara says, no, when it says in the Brisa, shina, b'zeh, possible, idiv, mezuzah, is referring to mezuzah. V'hadar, kasvinu, klaf, b'makom, seyar, That's where you write it in the klaf, b'makom seir. Inami, aduchtusus b'makom basar. So that's where it's going to be disqualified in both those directions. In other words, that if you write in klaf, the klaf is pasul for mezuzah, regardless of which part of the area it is. Duchtusus, when you write on duchtusus for mezuzah, it should be the b'makom seir. But if a person writes on duchtusus, the opposite side, or b'makom basar, that would be pasul for the mezuzah as well. So we see by mezuzah, there are much more restrictions in terms of where you write on mezuzah. It must be, again, on duchtusus and on the makom seir. If it's on the makom basar, or if it's on or, klaf, it's pasul as opposed to tefillin. There's a l'chalchilut tefillin, but there's also a b'dieved, which works as well. V by same thing, where it says, alternatively, we could suggest that Shina Bazeh Bazeh Tanahi, when both of them change, it's really a machlokas tanaim, as opposed to regarding tefillin mezuzah, which is as follows, the Tanya. Shina Bazeh Bazeh Pasul. If you change either one, whether it's tefillin or mezuzah, they're both pasul. And comes along Rabbi Acha Machshir, he permits Mishum Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Rabbi La Adha say Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Chanina. So there's a machlokas when it comes to tefillin, whether or not tefillin, if you change tefillin from a klaf to aduch stustus, whether or not it will be pasul or not. Rapapa says, Rav damar kitana de bebe nasher. Rav holds like another brice of the tana de bebe nasher, ksava al haniyar, baha malis psula. The person writes, or on a piece of paper, the person writes on a piece of cloth that's pasul, but a klaf, baha gvil, val duchsustus, chera. On these, it's actually going to be, accepted. It will be kasher, at least kasher bidi evit. So, the gvil, by the way, is the Rashi explains there was a Rashi gvil mubad bafatsim. It's we're describing different types of skins, whether it was not processed, whether it was partially processed. Gvil is when it was completely processed, even if you have bafatsim, even after you put the golnuts on, this is the final process, even if you write on the gvil, that would be acceptable as well for writing of the tefillin. The Tosas points out here, take a look at Tosas, dear maskil, tefillin, agvil, mikasvir, and three wide lines down. Tosas asks a question, vim tomer, so now what we see that the gvil works for tefillin. So Tosas asks, v'hadetam beperakamad the Begillah. Among the Ein Bein Mishnayos, Tosu says, Ein Bein Svarim, which is Sifrei Torah, the Tefillin Mezuzos, Ela, Shesvarim Nichtavim Bichalashon, the Tefillin Mezuzos, Ein Nichtavim Ela Bilashon Ashurus. That Sifrei Torah can be written in any language, according to the Tanakham, at least there, and Tefillin Mezuzos must be written in Lashon Ashurus, which is Hebrew. Amaylo Katani Nami, Shetefillin Mezuzos, Ein Nichtavim Al Hagvil. Why don't we say that, I jumped ahead a little bit. We're about to see in a second that tefillin cannot be written on the gvil. On that piece, though, since we're in Tosafot, we may as well finish it off. While Sifrei Torah are written on gvil, tefillin mezuzahs may not be written on gvil. So how come that's not a difference? So Omari, Tosafot answers, delo katani la mishum delo mifsal begvil mechataima. The fact that tefillin mezuzahs are both pasul and gvil, it's for different reasons. So therefore, you can't put them in the same grouping, even though lamaisa they're both pasul from gvil for different reasons. El mishum zed dinok beklaf zed beduchstusus. The reason why, because tefillin must be on the klaf and mezuzah must be on the duchstusus, and therefore, by definition, gvil is outside, but not because they both because gvil is pasul. It's both because they need different criteria. Aval ha the nechtam ashur is that which they both must be written in Hebrew. That's for the same reason. Havi mechad taima k'dashin hasa megemara v'ayu b'haviyasa nihu. So therefore, that's not on the list. Let's go back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, Kasvamai, back to the Baisa where it says you're allowed to write these things on the klaf and the gvil and duchstusis, it's kshera. What were you writing? So ilay mezuzah, you're referring to writing mezuzah on a klaf, a gvil, a duchstusis, and that's kshera. Mezuzah, a klaf, mi katisvinan. Can you write on klaf? We already established that mezuzah must be written on duchstusis. Elav, tefillin, is not referring to tefillin, and we see from here that this Baisa says, the tan of emidnasha, that tefillin can be written on klaf, gvil, and duchstusis. So this is the opinion that allows you to write on duchstusis, tefillin. So Gemara says, "Tamech, according to your reasoning, wait a second. Tefillin, agvil ni kasvinan. Could you write tefillin on gvil? Tefillin ideally should be on klaf. And b'di'evet, it works on duchstusis. But did anyone ever say you could write on gvil when it's been processed, it's been treated with gallnuts? So ela kitanya ha'ib b'sefer Torah. That Bryce is referring to sefer Torah. The sefer Torah can be written on any of the three: klaf, gvil, or duchstusis. That's what's describing. So Gemara says, let's finish off this daf here. Lema." Lema, let's suggest, Mesaile, this supports Rav. Kidyote Ba, it says in the Braisa, in a similar way, Tefillin Shabalu, Tefillin that has been worn out, the Sefer Torah Shabalu, a Sefer Torah that's been worn out, Ein Osim Hem Mezuzah, you cannot turn them now into Mezuzah. The Fisha Ein Maridin Mekdusha, Chamorla Kedusha, Kali, you can't go from a higher level to a lower level, and certainly Tefillin and Sefer Torah are a higher level than that of Mezuzah, so time, Megwar is Medaik. Time of Ein Maridin, only because Ein Maridin, you can't bring things down level in a Kedusha, Hamaridim, had you been able to change from one Kedusha to a lower Kedusha, oh, so we would have done this. But why? The Ksiva Amai, what were you written on? How could you ever have a mezuzah? If mezuzah is only klaf, and rather, mezuzah is only duchstustis, and the mezuzah and the tefillin is only klaf, so you can't change a klaf of tefillin to a duchstustis of a mezuzah. It's a klaf, meaning, sorry, say it again. The klaf of tefillin must be written on klaf. So now, you can't change a tefillin into mezuzah because a mezuzah must be on duchstustis. So how do you ever have that you could even possibly think and fathom going from a tefillin to mezuzah? That's different types of skins. So it must be the chsiva amai, lav the chsiva duchstustis. So we see from here, this araya, that must be tefillin can be written on duchstustis, and therefore you have a possible, a havamina, that you could use it for mezuzah had it not been for the problem of ein maridim kedusha, chamula kedusha, kal. To which the Gemara says, lo, not true, the chsiva ala klav, where you're written on a klaf, and therefore there is this price that says a klaf, although it's used for tefillin, there's a habit that maybe you could use a klaf for mezuzah, and this goes against Rav. Well, Rav says mezuzah must be written only on duchstustis. This price implies that you can even write a mezuzah on a klaf, had it not been for ein maridim nekedusha. Mezuzah klaf mikasvinim. Wait a second. Would anyone allow you to write mezuzah on a klaf? We've been saying up until now it's pretty clear that mezuzah must be written on duchstustis. There's only a question whether or not tefillin that's written on klaf can also be written on duchstustis, but no one ever thought that mezuzah can be written on klaf. And the Gemara says, in mezuzah can be written on klaf. Vatani, the Baris, it says as a raya, ksav al klaf al anir val matlis psula. That you write, we don't know what we're talking about, but seemingly a mezuzah at this stage. You a mezuzah written on klaf, written on paper, written on even a piece of cloth. It's possible. But Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar Rabbi Meir haya kosav al klaf. He write a mezuzah on a klaf. Mipnei shemish tameres, because it gets protected that way when it's written on parchment. We prefer that. So we see that Rabbi Meir does allow mezuzah to be written on klaf. So wherever you find a brisa or mishnah that says mezuzah can be written on klaf, that's the das yachid of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, now that we've established this, that there is a sheet out there, Rabbi Meir, who holds that you can in fact write mezuzah on klaf, l'rav nami lo tema duchsusis arehi kuklaf. El ema klaf hareyu kuduchstustis, change it around, that really klaf is like duchstustis, maduch sustis kosin alav mezuzah, just like duchstustis you could write mezuzah, af klaf kosin alav mezuzah, so to klaf you could write mezuzah. And that ends again a very tricky daf. Yemir Tashem, we will continue tomorrow back at 7 o'clock, and everyone have a wonderful day and a guten chodesh.